It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania, in Altoona, Pennsylvania, which is one of the most talked about cities in the entire country right now, believe it or not. Most of you, I'm sure, have heard the news or seen the news, but the suspected killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson last week in New York was captured today at McDonald's on Plank Road in Altoona. The lead story on CNN right now, Luigi Mangione was picked up in a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania after an employee called the cops. The lead story on Fox News right now, NYPD brass arrives in Altoona, PA to meet suspected CEO killer at police station. You know, when you are the lead story on both CNN and Fox News, that is a gigantic story. And it's amazing. You know, you think about weird things that can go on in life, and you kind of really don't want to see your city be one of the most talked about cities in the country, and the lead story on all the national news programs. That generally means something bad happened. In this case, something good happened. They've captured the suspected killer. His name is Luigi Mangione. Luigi Mangione is his name, and some details are a little sketchy. I've seen conflicting reports on whether the person that tipped off the police was a McDonald's employee or just a regular person eating there at the restaurant. Regardless, pretty wild that everywhere you look. If you Google Altoona, PA right now, it's everywhere. 946-0435 is our phone number. I will say one more thing about it before we get to we got a lot of good Penn State football discussion. I picked my kids up from the bus stop around 3 o'clock, and it had happened a couple hours earlier, but so I drove over to McDonald's. We eat there, it's a couple miles from our house, and it was business as usual. You know, there was a bunch of TV news stations there, reporters kind of doing their stand up reads and everything, but we went through the drive-thru, got a McRib, business as usual. Nothing different at all at the McDonald's. You think it might have still been chaotic around there, but by this point, a few hours had moved on. One other thing that I've seen a lot of people kind of making fun of this guy for is that if he's going to come to Altoona, Pennsylvania, and he's going to get caught, how does he get caught in a McDonald's when there's a Sheetz right across the street? So, look, even in crazy situations, very, very serious situations, the internet can always be counted on people to make jokes and silly stuff like that. So pretty wild day here locally. Our phone number is 946-0435. We're going to talk a lot of college football today. If you want to join me, I'd love to hear all your thoughts on everything that's happened over the weekend. Penn State gets a huge Christmas present. You know, like when you're a kid, you can't wait for Christmas morning. You don't know what you're going to get. You stumble down the stairs with your family, and under the tree is like this awesome new bicycle. It's like the greatest bicycle you've ever seen. When I was a kid, they had these bicycles that had white rimmed tires. So they had white tires. Might have been a Huffy bike, but they had these white plastic shields over the tires. These were the coolest looking things I'd ever seen. This was an awesome Christmas present. Couldn't wait to get it. All right. This was one of the best Christmas presents I ever got. Sometimes you walk down the stairs and you get, like, not a lump of coal, but your presents aren't all that great. You know, it kind of stinks. And if you're a Penn State football fan, Christmas hasn't always been kind to Penn State for a long, long time. It's been 38 years since Penn State won a national title. Really hasn't competed for one since 1994. You could maybe say 2016 they were in the running. 2005 they were kind of in the running. But it's been a long, long time. So not only is Penn State in position to contend for a national title this year, they're walking down the stairs at their house. They're seeing the greatest Christmas present they possibly could have gotten when they look at the college football playoff bracket. Penn State is the number 6 seed. Notice how I have not mentioned yet. I know we got through the Altoona McDonald stuff and all that with the suspected killer. I've not mentioned 8.5 minutes into this show that Penn State lost the Big Ten championship game on Saturday. Because it's irrelevant. It means almost nothing with regards to the biggest goal that's still at stake. Now, we talked last week, winning a Big Ten championship would have been awesome. I mean, that would have been an amazing accomplishment had they won it and then they lose in the playoff and don't win the national title. But for all of you Penn State fans out there, even the most diehard Penn State fans out there, those of you out there who, if Penn State loses a game, you're depressed for a week or two, do you really care at all that they lost Saturday? It's wild. I've covered Penn State football for 20 years. There's less reaction in terms of concern or frustration about losing this game than any game I've ever seen Penn State lose, I promise you, in my 20 years of covering the team. Nobody cares about losing that game. Because by the time Sunday afternoon rolled around and we saw the playoff bracket and Penn State sees its shiny, awesome present under the Christmas tree, which is the playoff bracket, oh my God. I mean, Penn State's the 6th seed. Their first round game is against SMU. Who wouldn't take that? Penn State's a touchdown favorite in that game at home, December 21st against SMU at Beaver State. Look, I'm not saying SMU can't beat Penn State. I'm talking about the path there. Okay, first round game. As you're watching the bracket reveal yesterday, you just know it's going to be Alabama. It was the last team, the 11 seed was the last team revealed, and they're comparing Alabama and SMU. You just know it's going to be Alabama, right? They put up on the screen the strength of schedule, comparison, all stuff. SMU had done nothing. SMU's done nothing this year. I mean, nothing. Let me pull up their schedule. And their best win, SMU's best win, they beat Louisville 34-27 on the road. They beat Pitt. Pitt's awful. Beat Pitt 48-25. They won at Duke 28-27 in overtime. Lost in the ACC championship game Saturday to Clemson 34-31. SMU has accomplished very little this year. But the record is good. 11-2. Kind of like Penn State. Penn State really hasn't accomplished a whole heck of a lot this year. But they're 11-2. And a top 10 team, competed very well against Ohio State, competed very well against Oregon. But you just knew Alabama was going to get that 11th seed. You just knew it. And then all of a sudden, they put SMU up, and you're like, oh my God, Merry Christmas, Penn State. Merry Christmas, James Franklin. Here's your shiny new bicycle. We've given you, James Franklin and Penn State, the best Christmas present in the entire damn college football playoff. You get to play SMU in the first round, and if you win that game, you don't got to play Ohio State. You don't got to play Oregon. You don't got to play Georgia. You don't got to play Texas, the four probably best teams in the country. You got to play Boise State, one-dimensional Boise State. They've got a great player in Ashton Jeanty, who will probably be the runner-up to the Heisman. Colorado's Travis Hunter's going to win the Heisman. But Ashton Jeanty, 2,000 yards, great running, one-dimensional team. And that's who you get in the second round. So, on a giant... Look, and Penn State could lose either game. You never know in sports. This has been a crazy season of college football. Anything can happen. But on paper... this is the greatest Christmas present of James Franklin's life. This is like in a Toy Story when the crazy dad, the kooky dad, wins the prize, the leg lamp, and it says fragile on it. And he goes, fragile, must be from France, fragile. It's a stupid leg lamp that's dumb. But that was a great Christmas present for him. The Christmas present for Penn State is the easiest path to the Final Four, maybe even to the championship game, of any team in the field. So you get SMU in the first round. You get Boise in the second round. Then there's Georgia. Now, Georgia, I think Georgia can win the whole thing. But that's a healthy Georgia. Georgia's quarterback, Carson Beck, suffered an injury in the SEC championship game. Georgia beats Texas. And he's got a UCL injury, which is the ulnar collateral ligament. If you don't know exactly what that is, when you have Tommy John surgery in baseball, you are replacing the UCL. You're replacing the ulnar collateral ligament. It happens to a lot of baseball pitchers. Quarterbacks, you don't see quarterbacks get the UCL injury as much, and you think, well, why? They're throwing footballs all the time. You're using your arm a little bit of a different way to throw a football than you are. You're using your elbow differently to throw a football than you do to throw a baseball. Baseball is a much more unnatural type of throw. Football is more of a natural throw. But Carson Beck, Georgia's quarterback, reportedly has a UCL injury. It's unclear if he'll be ready to play if Georgia gets to the semifinals, but that's who Penn State. So that's who Penn State would face. SMU in the first round, Boise in the second round, a Georgia quarterback potentially without its starting quarterback. Scott in Bellefonte, man. What you ever got a better Christmas present than that, Scott?
Hey, Corey, I'm yes and no probably, but I'm not that upset that they lost. I'm upset the way that they lost, because they had that. They could have very easily won that game. Can you explain to me why they would throw a deep ball on second and one with 2 minutes to go instead of just, they had three chances to get the first down, drive down. Granted, they may not have gotten that 2-point conversion, which they needed to do to get, since the boneheaded try of going for it earlier in the game. So I'm not really that upset, but they had that game in their hand. And granted, if they would have won, they would have had a harder path. I agree with you, but I called you on Friday, said I was heading down there, and I would much rather them win that game than lose that game, because who knows when we're going to have another chance to win a Big Ten.
Okay. On the bright side, did you have a good time? It was pretty cool seeing in the atmosphere with all the Penn State fans?
Oh, it was a great time. They're driving there. That's a long drive, but their stadium is awesome. I love the setup of their stadium, the way their stadium set up. We were three seats away from the blue band, so we were right next to the blue band. Yeah, it was a cool experience, the whole everything. That's, it was a fun time, except for losing the game.
That part is awesome, and I'm glad you had a good time. As for the other part, you're speaking Japanese. It's like you're coming from Mars, because I don't quite know what. See, here's the deal. I obviously, Scott, I'm the guy known for, I want them to throw the ball deep all the time. That was a terrible decision by Drew Aller. Absolutely horrific. I think that they should throw the ball 50 yards down the field a half dozen times a game. Second and one, you're bludgeoning them. You got 290 yards rushing. Oregon's defense looked like crap to me. To be perfectly honest, I knew Oregon was going to score and move the ball. They did. Because I've seen Oregon. You look at statistically, I knew they were going to move the ball up and down. But Oregon's defense to me was a gigantic disappointment. I mean, Penn State's offense isn't that good. So on second one, you got 2 minutes to go. I initially thought, like, what the hell is this play call? What are you doing? It seems to me like most people seem to think that was just Drew. Drew read it, decided to take the shot when he just didn't have to. I mean, they could have. I don't know if they would have gotten a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. I do think they would have continued to move the ball. But to take a shot there on second and one, the way you had been moving the ball, I just think that's a really. But here's the deal, Scott. You were there. Nobody cares. You know how many people are really talking about that play? Nobody. That's what's fascinating about the whole situation.
You're right. Whenever we left the game, we were walking around the stadium. There weren't a ton of people that were upset. There was a lot of Oregon people coming up saying, good game, good game, good game. We'll see. Maybe we'll see you again. A lot of stayers weren't upset. You're right.
How old are you?
The season wasn't over.
How old are you?
What's that?
How old are you?
54.
Okay, so
54.
I'm 51. I was at the Rose Bowl in 16, the tremendous Rose Bowl where they lost to Sam Darnold and USC. After that game, it was kind of a feeling of, that's one of the best games we've ever seen. Not a lot of Penn State fans were tremendously upset. In all of your time as a Penn State fan, have you ever seen a game where the outcome of the game, I mean, here we are 2 days later, and I'm talking about the greatest Christmas present they could get. Have you ever seen a Penn State loss that really matters less?
I don't think so. No, you're probably right. It's only because of the expanded playoff, and I'm thankful for it. So
They would have been happy to have won a Big Ten championship. Don't get me wrong. But the way it plays out now, I'll ask you point blank, Scott, would you rather be playing in the first round and play SMU and Boise, or would you rather be Oregon with a bye and have Ohio State in the second round?
Well, from what I told you on Friday, I'm going to stick to my guns. I would rather have won the game because I don't think we're going to win the national title anyway. So I would rather have the Big Ten championship and the bye.
I hear you.
I'm going to stick to my gun.
Good stuff, my man. Anything else, Scott?
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
No, well, I did see a couple of Michigan fans out there. I went up and shook their hands and said thank you.
That's great.
they got a good laugh out of it. So.
That's awesome. Thanks, dude. Good stuff, man. Anybody else go to the game? You want to call and share your experience? Clarkster, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, Franklin channeled his inner Oregon by going for the 2 points.
Sure.
Oregon's classic was on their first touchdown, they automatically go for 2 points.
Right, yep.
That was their old thinking. He also was channeling, look, if we win this game, we don't get a home game, and we don't get $20 million coming into the economy.
You talked about that. So here's the deal. I've seen hotel prices in State College for that weekend. They're like $1,400 a night.
Yes.
You want to talk
about the money.
You want to talk about gouging your fans? Oh, my God.
Well, they'll pay it.
They'll pay it.
You know, they'll pay it. It's also probably tied to his super bonus by getting in. There was, who was the coach? Guy at University at Rhode Island. He used to coach up at St. Bonnie's. His bonus was tied to an out-of-conference game. So I'm suggesting that Franklin's super bonus is tied to having an additional home game.
Is this basketball?
Yeah, it was basketball. He was at St. Bonnie's, and he went to Rhode Island.
Would that have been Jim Jim Barron? Or
yeah, I believe Barron's. I think bonus money was tied to one of their major out of conference games.
I didn't realize that. If they'd beaten one of their money games.
No, it was. It didn't have to. It just had to be played.
Oh, I see.
It was going to attract at least.
Yes, yeah. You may know this, but Jim Barron's kind of a local legend around here. He coached St. Francis to the NCAA tournament 30 years ago. So I knew that for no. You know, I wouldn't have known it for any other reason, really.
They couldn't pay it in salary, but they could pay it in bonus tied to a game if they got an attractive out of conference game. But anyway, going back to the game. Second and one, that's a classic pass play.
But you're killing the team, okay? And look, let me ask you, everybody hang on. Let me ask you this specifically. Do you think Drew Aller throws a good deep ball?
No, he
does not. And so I can sit here and lament they should throw more Geigers. That's what I call them, some other people.
Yeah, you
should throw some Geigers. Drew sucks at them. Drew's not any good at the deep ball. Quite frankly, Sean Clifford wasn't any good at the deep ball. Trace McSorley was tremendous. Matt McGloin was tremendous. Darrell Clark was tremendous. Not every quarterback is great at the deep ball. So if Drew just makes a different read, I don't know that they score a touchdown. I do think they get to the 10, the 7-yard line. Maybe Oregon gets a stop. Maybe Penn State scores. I don't know. But I do think Penn State was going to continue to move the ball.
Well, okay. You always had two more downs to make the yard. That's the one thinking. The other thinking is, and which didn't happen, but actually did and should have been called. But the D-back had his hands all over the guy's jersey.
Yeah. Hey, look, here's the deal. That was a horrifically officiated game.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was not. And I want everybody to be clear here, because I'm not someone who blames officials for losses. I mean, plays need to be made. Penn State committed four personal foul penalties in the first half. It was embarrassing. So if we're gonna be blaming the officials, we still have to point another finger at Penn State. They were shooting themselves in the foot. But there were calls in that game that were not made. Holding calls looked like on Abdul Carter. Other pass interference plays.
It was completed.
Yeah.
How about the complete pass, and they never went up to the. Doesn't TV
right, but now that one, Penn State ended up getting the first down on that series anyway.
I know.
But absolutely, the dude catches the ball. It was clear they catch the ball. I can't believe, because Penn State was in that hurry up mode, and James is going losing his mind on the sideline over there.
Yeah, but also now going back, if they do score, okay, you know, let's suppose that penalty is called. It's 15 yards or whatever, 5 yards, whatever they're going to call it, you know, defensive holding, pass interference, whatever. But he's getting taken off the hook, because what if Penn State scores and now you know they're burdened with going for two and they don't make it? He's going to get excruciated.
Here's the thing. Analytically, you've heard me say this before, that I try to make a decision based on – I try to judge based on what the decision is, not the outcome. I hated the decision to go for two. I thought it was terrible. I thought it was just to be – and you seem to think it was terrible too, right?
Yes.
Okay. To be fair, okay, and I hated it because there was too much time. To be fair, all of the analytics that they do in football
– but that's ridiculous.
Well, let me finish what I was going to say. You can call it ridiculous all you want. All of the analytics that they do in football tell you to go for it there. They whether you like it or not, scientifically and mathematically, down 14. Now, a lot of times it depends on how much time there was left in the game. And this was still third quarter, I believe. There was still a lot of time where things could have happened. But scientifically, the one thing we bitch about Mike Tomlin over here all the time, okay, I don't know if you ever listen to our Black and Gold Breakdown show, but we bitch about Mike Tomlin all the time, is that Mike Tomlin does everything by his gut. Mike Tomlin doesn't do the analytics. Mike Tomlin doesn't keep up with the latest trends. He's so stubborn. He doesn't have people helping him with the clock. Here's the thing. In all fairness to James, probably the math and the science would have said go for two there. Because James does. They do put the money into the analytics, Clarkson. They do all of their due diligence. So from a coaching standpoint, would you rather have Mike Tomlin, who's like, standard is a standard, we're going to get kicked in the teeth no matter what, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. Or James Franklin, putting the time and research in, being prepared for that situation. I think he was ready for the situation, and he probably made the call that the analytics would say to make. I hated it. I hated it. You hated it. A lot of Penn State fans hated it. But I'm, in fairness to him, that down 14, if you score, the book says now you've got two chances to go. Here, hang on. Let me finish. The book says you've got two chances to go for two. If you're down 14 and you need two touchdowns, you've got two chances to go for two, either on this touchdown or the next touchdown. And mathematically, they seem to think that you would have a really good chance to make it at least one of those two.
But psychologically, your team now.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's a little deflation here when you're now down eight. Instead of
Look, you're right, and I'm trying to paint the whole picture. That didn't decide the game. I mean, here's the deal. If this were a normal game and Penn State wasn't going to play SMU and Boise State in the first and second round, then we'd all be bitching about the two. But what I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. The 2-point conversion doesn't matter. Penn State losing, none of it matters. Not a single damn thing that happened on Saturday. Yeah, they would have liked to have been the Big Ten champion. I'm telling you, if they're the Big Ten champion and they're playing Ohio State in the second round, they're going home. They're going home. Versus right now, I can sit here and tell you, right now, I've never said this before. Right now, I think Penn State can win the national championship. If they had won Saturday, I would not feel anywhere near as confident knowing that they've got the Buckeyes in the second round.
Well, remember, the next round, in theory, is at a neutral site.
It's at the Fiesta Bowl.
Well, where is Oregon going?
I don't know. I didn't look at those. Penn State Boise would be the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State's been to the Fiesta Bowl. James has been to the Fiesta Bowl. They're familiar with the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State will travel well to the Fiesta Bowl.
But could you imagine Penn State, Ohio State, and Pasadena?
It doesn't matter. I don't have to imagine that. They're not going to play Ohio State.
No, but where would they have played that if Penn State did win and Ohio State, would they have moved Ohio State around?
Before I let you go, would you have rather Penn State won the game and played Ohio State or Tennessee in the second round or lost the game and get SMU and Boise?
Well, obviously the path looks better this way, of course. But again, Ohio State may be pulling a Philadelphia Eagles and just falling down there.
They very well could be, but I'd still rather face SMU and Boise.
Okay. Right.
Thanks, man. Good stuff. 946-0435. You want to join in?
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Oh, no. My phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. For a limited time, trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Only at Verizon. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice. But now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to HIMSS.com/joy.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Lots of good discussion here so far, and again, Clarkster brought up a good point, or Scott brought up a good point about why are you throwing for it on second and one? Why are you going deep? I traditionally I would say second and one is a good chance, time to take a chance down the field, but couple things, you know, that you just didn't need it there the way you're pounding Oregon on the ground. 292 yards rushing, which is just wow. I mean, I would say right now, Oregon is my pick to win the national title. What they can do offensively is very impressive. But their defense looked like a mess. And I know everybody's kind of caught up in this being a great season and everything for Penn State, and Andy Kotelnicki and this and that and all these crazy formations they do. I still don't think Penn State's offense is all that great. I mean, you got Tyler Warren, who is an absolute stud, but the wide receivers are still a mess. You got two good running backs, but they're not great. They're both 750-yard running backs. These are not superstar running backs, despite what people might tell you about Nicholas Singleton. He's really good, but he's not some superstar. And yet Penn State puts up 500 yards against Oregon, moves the ball the whole game. So my pick right now would be Oregon to win it all. But their defense, which played great throughout the season, just looked like a mess. I mean, Penn State gave up 38 points, and then Oregon got an interception that was returned to the 1 yard line, so essentially a pick six. So Penn State's defense gave up 38 points. Oregon's defense gave up 37 points. We got Bob and Altoona on the line. What's up, Bob? How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Corey. What I wanted to talk about, I haven't heard anybody else say anything about it. I thought Penn State was very sloppy in that first quarter. Yeah, there's personal fouls, and, you know, that's ridiculous. You stop somebody, and then some, you know, knucklehead has to smack somebody.
Yeah, undisciplined. Undisciplined. Penn State was beating itself. And traditionally over the years, Penn State's been pretty good under James Franklin. They've been pretty good when it comes to penalties and not beating themselves. This year, they've beaten themselves with a lot. This has been a very, very undisciplined team. James would admit that compared to years past. And yeah, that first half, that's an abomination. That's embarrassing to have those four penalties in the first half. But
and one other thing, I was watching the Big Ten Network the one day, and they had a big, you know, 15-minute segment about that Rojas. Is that his name?
Yeah, Tony Rojas. Yep.
They compared him to LeVar Arrington, and you know all the big Poslanski and all the deep. And boy, I haven't seen that. Have you?
No, not at all. I mean, he's still a young player. It's only his second year. All right, and he has a lot of potential, okay? But in terms of, like, game-changing plays and things like that, no. We have not seen that. He's got 46 tackles this year at linebacker. 46 tackles. So, you know, he's not been a guy. Now, Abdul Carter, kind of the same thing with him last year. He wasn't necessarily a game-changing kind of player for Penn State last year. They move into a defensive end, and he's been a much different factor. So
he is now.
Yeah, so with Rojas, again, just a sophomore. He's played a lot of football, too, as a sophomore. They're going to be expecting him and counting on him to take a gigantic leap forward next year because he is very talented.
Yeah, I was hoping. Yeah, because I like that story they had about him. I thought, well, I haven't really watched because
Bob, what would you rather have? A Big Ten championship and be the number one seed, but you got Ohio State potentially looming in the second round, or lose the game to Oregon, and now you've got SMU and Boise and maybe a banged-up Georgia?
That's a no-brainer, Corey. On Saturday night, I was rooting. You know what I mean? I didn't realize, but you're right. That was a big Christmas present. You know, because they have a really good chance of winning two games.
They've got a really good chance to win the whole damn thing. I mean, look, we saw – now that we've seen Penn State versus Oregon, I felt going into the game that Oregon's offense was really going to make it very difficult for Penn State's defense, and it did. But now that we've seen it, if Penn State were to play Oregon again on a neutral field without all those first-half penalties, I think we see a very, very, very competitive game. Penn State and Oregon would not face each other until potentially the national championship game. But there is not a team that they will play that Penn State cannot beat. Obviously, SMU and Boise, they should beat them. If they play Georgia and Georgia's quarterback can't play, I mean, Penn State would should have every opportunity to have a chance to win that game. And then you've got maybe Oregon or Ohio State coming up on the other side. And we've already seen Penn State against compete against those two teams.
Yeah, cool. Okay, well, thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. My score for the game was 30-20. Oregon winning. There are a lot of Penn State reporters that picked Penn State to win. You've heard me say this before, that there are a lot of homers who cover Penn State. There are a lot of people on the beat who basically just suck at the teat of Penn State. They kind of kiss ass for Penn State all the time, and so they pick Penn State all the time. Not everybody, but there are a lot of homers that cover Penn State. Realistically, to go into that game and pick Penn State to beat the number one team in the country seemed silly to me. It was silly to me. And so what Oregon did, especially to start that game, moving the ball straight up and down the field. Dylan Gabriel has thrown for, listen to this, folks, 18,000 yards in college football. 18,000. He has more touchdowns than anyone who's ever played college football. So to think that Penn State's defense, which I think has been overrated all year, to think that Penn State's defense was going to slow down that offense was silly. But Oregon's defense, to me, was very disappointing. I don't know if my buddy Rob in Bedford is listening. He watches Oregon all the time, and statistically, Oregon was supposed to have this great defense, this and that. They gave up 37 points. Oregon gave up 37 points to a Penn State offense that, quite frankly, I don't think is all that great. I picked 30-20. I figured Oregon would move the ball a good bit. They moved it a lot. Penn State moved the ball better than I thought. And so if they were to play again in a rematch, yeah, it would be very interesting. Eric in Altoona, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Corey. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like the gimmick plays. It just doesn't seem like you're there when you've got to be constantly throwing some gimmick play, and then some of them don't always work. Sometimes when you see these teams that do these trickery plays, they hit for a touchdown.
And you know what, Eric?
They hit for an 8-yard play or something.
Penn State didn't even have to do gimmicks against Oregon. Penn State lined
exactly.
up. Penn State lined up and played traditional Penn State Big Ten defense. Offense, and they moved the ball at will on Oregon. I was very surprised because Oregon. Look, I have a lot of respect for Oregon. My pick right now would be for Oregon to win the national title. But I was stunned at how easily Penn State ran the ball. 290 yards, man. That is a massive total.
Yeah, I just wish they would have run a little more. Obviously, the last play that they had the ball, everyone wants that one back.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But to your point, Corey, your question, I'm still with Big Ten Championship because you can't take that away. Sooner or later, in that national championship run, for it to get to that game, you are going to hit one of the best teams out there.
But they just did. They literally just did. And so
and they lost.
And that, but you don't have to face them till the championship game. And quite frankly, I think Ohio State, if Ohio State gets all its crap figured out, Georgia, I would have picked Georgia too, but with their quarterback situation. But you don't have to face Ohio State till the national. So the three best teams in the country to me are Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia. You wouldn't have to face Oregon or Ohio State till the championship game, and you would get Georgia potentially in the semifinal, and that'll kind of depend on Georgia's quarterback situation.
Yeah, I agree with that. No, they definitely got the easier path out there, and I was so elated to see the path they've got now. So,
yeah. It's wild. Good stuff, buddy. Appreciate the call, Eric. 946-0435. The one reason to have wanted the Big Ten championship is that's history. You put the year up on the facade at Beaver Stadium. Everybody would remember the Big Ten championship team. And look, I'm not downplaying the significance of what that could have meant historically. I'm just telling you that between winning the Big Ten championship and being the number one seed versus the path that they got right now, it's not even remotely close. It's not remotely close because if you're Penn State, I don't think you want any part of Ohio State. Now, look, Ohio State's got to beat Tennessee, and that's not a given. That should be a good game. But Ohio State's kicked Penn State's butt forever, okay? They're 10-1 against James Franklin. So I just don't think you want any part of that team. Steven Altoona, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm in the mindset of, do you want to win the war or do you want to win the battle?
Exactly,
right. I mean, because at the end of the – now, granted, we didn't know that Penn State was going to be playing SMU because they very could have easily played Alabama, depending on what the committee decided.
And I would probably be singing a different tune there today. Look, Alabama is good enough to come up here and beat Penn State. SMU is not. So if they were playing Alabama – then we'd all probably be singing a different tune of like, damn, it'd been good if they could have beaten Oregon and gotten that one seed.
Right. In regards to the Big Ten championship, I think that as far as recruiting goes for future, they're in the semifinal against Georgia. And if let's say even if they did lose to Georgia, well, if it's a touchdown or less game, like a 24-17 kind of game, that wouldn't intrigue people to maybe think about coming to Penn State to play ball as opposed to if they would have been a one and done, let's say.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I would say this, the longer you advance, high school kids, do they give a rip if you've beaten SMU and Boise to get to the semifinals or if you've beaten Oregon or Ohio State? No, they don't care. The longer Penn State stays in the discussion, that keeps them at the forefront of kids' minds.
I agree. And could you imagine local radios in Columbus today, how mad they are, saying, well, we beat Penn State at Penn State.
Yeah.
Why didn't we get the sixth seed? So, I mean, it couldn't have worked out. I hate to use the term moral victory in sports, but if there was any such thing or any such time that a moral victory fit a situation, it has to be this one.
No question about it. And I will say this, there's not been enough made of the fact that Ohio State lost to the number one team in the country by 1 point in the last second. They beat Penn State on the road. Now, Michigan's not real good, but they're eighth. Ohio State is eighth with that resume. I don't know how much you've listened to me over the last 2 months. I don't trust the human beings on the committee. If I've got a team that lost to the number one team in the country on the road by one and beat Penn State, which is number six, and I just slot them at eighth, now some of that has to do because you got to put Boise and Arizona State in the top four. So that does come into play. But I'm with you. This is a completely unpopular opinion. I absolutely believe that Ohio State should be seeded ahead of Penn State. They beat them. I mean, we are completely forgetting and losing sight of the fact that head-to-head should matter, but that just goes to show how bad that Michigan loss was.
Yeah. So, but, hey, we got SMU, so let's do it.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate the call.
We kick off our look at the top 16 playoff drivers of the 2024 NASCAR racing season. And coming in at number 16 is Harrison Burton, who launched himself into the playoffs by winning at Daytona in August.
Our playoffs obviously didn't go how we wanted, but we brought a lot of speed. You know, the few weeks that we were in, we were fast. You know, we go and get in a wreck on the last lap of Atlanta, running like 12th, which would have been a good day. Watkins Glen blow a tire, have to come back from that, get through some of that chaos, and not really a great finish, but had speed throughout that day, and go to Bristol and have a power steering failure, and, you know, just another racetrack where it felt like we were in decent shape, practiced well, showed up well, so just showing up prepared for those races was fun. And after that, you know, we went to Vegas, ran really, really good. Got beat on some strategy stuff at the end there, but you know, we're passing up from like 20th to 8th or so there in that run. And Phoenix, you know, in Martinsville, making the final round and qualifying 2 weeks in a row to end the season and running well those races.
He racked up a win, 2 top 5s, 6 top 10s, 13 laps led, and 7 DNFs on the season. Burton, by the way, edged out Kyle Busch, who went winless for the first time in 19 years and ultimately finished last in the playoff standings. That's our look at the number 16 driver of the 2024 NASCAR season, Harrison Burton. Up next is number 15 on the final lap.
Okay, I have to tell you, I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks, whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet. Everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Oh, love it. Badlands from the Boss. 9460435. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, for their support of our program every day. Looking for a cigar pack, pipes, tobacco blends, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. You want to give stop by there, say hello. Again, 9460435. We're going to get out of here a couple minutes early because of some programming things here in a second. But I just want to mention this, that the college football playoff seeding format is garbage. It's pure garbage, okay? There's no way this can last. To just automatically give these weaker conference champions a top four seed, that's bullcrap. It bastardizes the entire field, okay? It bastardizes everything because you got Boise at 3, Arizona State at 4. They shouldn't be anywhere near there. They should be 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there, okay? So there's so much at stake here. And look, Penn State got the – here's the deal. I'll just put it this way. We can talk about Penn State getting an early Christmas present because their path is tremendously favorable. What if Penn State had gotten Ohio State's path? And they're 8th. They got to play Tennessee and then Oregon. Everybody'd be pissed. And you could say, well, take care of it on the field. Well, Ohio State beat Penn State. Ohio State lost Oregon by 1. They're down there at the 8th seed. And if they beat Tennessee, which is going to be a tough game, now they get Oregon, the number one team in the country, in the second round. While Penn State's playing SMU and Boise, the whole thing is just garbage. Okay, they're going to have to fix this for next year to where you do legitimate seedings and not give two teams automatic spots in the top four when they shouldn't be anywhere close.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Stand by for a big announcement. The year is coming to an end. J&P Automart is celebrating with a huge end-of-year blowout. The lowest prices of the year are happening now at J&P Automart. Come in during December and save big on your new ride. J&P Automart has one of the largest inventories of cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs in Central PA. They've been in business for over 60 years with big savings. It's the end-of-year blowout at J&P Automart, Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
Hank FM.
All right, a lot of good stuff. Appreciate everybody tuning in today. We'll have a whole bunch of terrific Penn State and college football playoff discussion the rest of the week. Tomorrow we've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show where we'll be talking some Steelers. That'll be fun. Looking forward to hearing what Kreider has to say about the win over the Browns. Nathan Forlina will be in studio with us tomorrow as well to talk college football. Nathan and I argued for about an hour last week. Last Tuesday, Nathan and I, we didn't agree on anything. It was awesome. It was great radio. So I ended up being right. And so I'll explain how on tomorrow's show because we can have a good discussion on all of that. Again, we're getting out of here a few minutes early today because of some programming stuff. We've got high school basketball coming up here on our Leitner Communication stations. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Altoona, PA, huge news today. Check CNN, Fox News, it's everywhere.
Station of 96.1 Hank FM, WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM, Roaring Spring, Altoona.